Merry Christmas from Las Vegas.
The entertainment capital of the world, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Jerry Pippin with entertainment news, views, and interviews.
Go away, winter, spring, summer, or fall, Las Vegas has got it all.
Las Vegas Strip, truly the street of dreams. Steve Wynn adds to his collection of mega luxury resorts with the Steve Wynn Encore. We'll have more about that later. But the real big story is from Mother Nature. On Las Vegas Boulevard, snow was everywhere last week.
Happy holiday!
But Christmas came early to the Las Vegas Strip.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and kiddies listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Open up the Christmas show from Vegas with a great song by Frank Sinatra for two reasons. First of all, it snowed in Las Vegas last week. Can you imagine the Las Vegas Strip with snow? It was unbelievable. And the second reason is Wynn has a new resort. Wynn as in Steve Wynn. Everything he does definitely is a winner. And so is the new Encore Resort, which opened this week. Besides the 175-foot mountain he built on the Las Vegas Strip right across from the new Frontier Hotel, which is now the old Frontier Hotel, which is now being torn down and being renovated, he has two giant towers now. And inside the Encore Resort, the new one, he has a fancy restaurant. Fancy is probably not the best word to describe it. Unique. unbelievable. It's called Sinatra's. It's full of Frank Sinatra memorabilia, including the Oscar that Frank won for Best Supporting Actor in From Here to Eternity. The Sinatra family has been cooperating with Wynn on opening up this restaurant. Everybody's very proud of it. They have 4 hours of Frank Sinatra music on a continuous loop. And the interesting thing about this is that Frank Sinatra introduces each tune personally. It's hard to believe that he's been gone 10 years. But his imprint on Vegas is everywhere. Besides the restaurant and the mountain, probably the most unique thing was Steve Wynn's commercial. They put him on top of the building, way up above the strip. They had a helicopter fly in to about 20 feet from him, and they filmed him making a pitch for his new resort.
Hello, I'm over here. 3 years ago, I stood over there introducing you to Wynn Las Vegas. Now I'm following it up the best way I know how. This is Encore. Next time, we do this in the lobby.
Entertainment-wise, the big news at the Encore Resort will be Danny Gans. He'll be opening in February at the Encore Theater. Gans is famous for many, many voices. He does female voices as well as male voices. It's really something to behold. He's quite the entertainer. Speaking of Danny Gans, for our Christmas show, he is going to give us a little story here, especially for the kids, but for everyone, really. After all, Christmas is for all of us. Here's Danny Gans and a Christmas story.
Hello, my friends. My name is Roberto Di Tingo, and this is the tale of the three trees. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. The first little tree looked up into the stars twinkling like diamonds above him, and he said,
Elby, hey, baby, yeah. I want to hold treasure. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world. Groovy, baby, yeah.
The second little tree looked out at the small stream trickling by on its way to the ocean, and he said,
I want to be a strong sailing ship. I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings. I will be the strongest ship in the world, and then I'll be back.
The third little tree looked down into the valley below, where busy men and busy women worked in a busy town.
I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they will raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world.
The years passed, the rains came, and the sun shone, and the little trees grew very tall. One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. The first woodcutter looked at the first tree and said,
Donkey Dog! This tree is perfect for me.
With a swoop of his shining axe, the first tree fell.
Oh, now I shall be made into a beautiful chest. I shall hold wonderful treasure. Yeah, man!
The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said,
Hey, oh, this tree is strong, you know what I'm saying? Hey, it's perfect for me, absolutely.
With a swoop of his shining axe, the second tree fell.
Now I shall sail mighty waters. I shall be a strong ship fit for kings, like in California.
The third tree felt his heart sink when the last woodcutter looked his way. He stood straight and tall and pointed bravely to heaven, but the woodcutter never even looked up.
Now I am the woodcutter, Bill, you see, and any kind of tree will do for me, because I'm just going to cut it down and then have my lunch of pudding, which is going to put a smile on my face. Yeah.
With a swoop of his axe, the third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to a carpenter shop. But the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. No, instead his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold or filled with treasure. He was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter brought him to a shipyard, but no mighty sailing ships were being made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sawed into a simple fishing boat. Too small and too weak to sail an ocean or even a river, he was taken to a little lake, where every day he brought in loads of dead, smelly fish. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut him into strong beams and left him in a lumber yard.
Gee, what happened? All I ever wanted to do was stay on the mountaintop and point to God.
Many, many days and nights passed. The three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby in the feed box. The mother squeezed her husband's hand and smiled as the starlight shone on the smooth and sturdy wood. The manger was beautiful. And suddenly, the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening many years later, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into an old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. Soon, a thundering storm arose. The little tree shuddered. He knew he did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the wind and the rain. The tired man awakened. He stood up, stretched out his hand, and he said, "Peace." The storm stopped as quickly as it had begun, and suddenly the second tree knew he was carrying the King of Heaven and Earth. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled when his beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. He flinched as he was carried through an angry, jeering crowd. He shuddered when soldiers nailed the man's hands to him. He felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath him, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It had made the first tree beautiful.
Oh, I feel fabulous, baby, yeah!
It had made the second tree strong.
I am the boat that carried the king. That really pumps me up.
And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God.
What a wonderful tree I turned out to be. No other tree has been so blessed like me.
And that, my friends, is the tale of the three trees.
That was Danny Gans, who will be starting a long run at Steve Wynn's Encore in February. Over the weekend, we had two Christmas shows. The tall, cool one, a very talented lady, Susan Anton, had a show at Michael Gann South Point Resort, which is just down at the south end of the Strip. Up in Summerlin in northwest Las Vegas, Clint Holmes had a Christmas show at the Suncoast. Interesting about Clint's show, he had his sister Gail appear. She did a little comic relief. Speaking of relief, we'll be right back with more of the Las Vegas Christmas show. Don't go away.
Why visit the Grand Canyon in Arizona? Marv Mason knows why.
Mainly because the Grand Canyon is known as one of the seven natural wonders of the world.
No one gives a more personalized tour or knows more about the Grand Canyon than Marvelous Marv.
My main thing is education on the geology, because the Grand Canyon is a life record. It shows us where we were at one time on the planet with the continental drift and all the layers that were laid down by sediments, and then how the canyon was carved. And, of course, the views, you know, a picture doesn't do it justice. But it's nice to have somebody there tell you about it that's lived there.
It's the best way to tour the Grand Canyon. Marv picks you up in a modern van at your hotel in the Grand Canyon area and takes you on a day-long tour. Contact Marvelous Marv Vacation Tours. Call and talk to him personally. 928-707-0291. Or visit his website,
MarvelousMarv.com. Real easy, real easy.
a special wish from a group of special people, the personnel of the Jerry Pippen Show. Everyone on the staff would like to say, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to laugh and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle, 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 jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle, 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 jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Happy holidays.
That was the fabulous Mills Brothers. Brings back Christmas memories. Sometime in the 60s, I think 67, 68, somewhere along in there, I was standing in the lobby at the Flamingo Hotel. At that time, the Flamingo was way out to the south side of Las Vegas. Now it's mid-strip, as you know. I was standing there getting ready to go into the restaurant, I think, and there in front of me were the Mills Brothers. What a thrill. That same day, I was walking through the casino, and there was Harry James, the band leader. I mention all this just to get to the introduction of our Las Vegas memory section today. This is an interview with the late, great jazz singer Joe Williams, who was a resident of Las Vegas for many, many years. He came by our studios one night there in Las Vegas. I think it was in 1989.
We have a very, very special guest, the one and only Joe Williams. How are you, Joe?
I'm fine, Jerry, and you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's real nice. That's pretty exciting there, that opening. I love.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah, that's the Doc Severinsen band, and no stranger to you, I know, from your Tonight Show appearances.
Oh, yeah, we did a couple of things together, concerts and stuff like that.
I know Johnny's always kidding you about living in Las Vegas. You've lived here a long time.
Well, ever since April of 68.
Well, I would say that's a long time.
You think?
You just came back from the Orient, is that right?
Yes, we were in Japan. In fact, I came home on Monday.
And it takes you a little while to get used to that time change, doesn't it? What do you lose a day or gain a day or something? I never did understand the international date line exactly.
Well, let's see. We left there on Monday night and got in here Monday afternoon. See, but I didn't let it fool me. I stayed in the bed and stayed in my pajamas for about 4 days before I finally decided I'd go out and see if it was nice out.
You do a lot of international touring these days, don't you?
Yes, we do. I'm going to, we'll go to Japan 3 times this year. To Europe, we've been there this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Brazil, we leave on the 23rd for Brazil.
Brazil.
With the Basie Orchestra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Going down to Sacramento with what is the kid's name? Louis Belson?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, and his big, exciting band. We're going down there and do a concert with him as well.
Fantastic.
So I'm looking forward to all the good work we're doing. We're going on to Norway again this year. you know, for the jazz cruise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How does that work, that jazz cruise? You go out for, what, a week or 10 days?
Just a week.
Just a week.
Yeah, you leave Miami on a Saturday, I think, and get back on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of jazz people on that.
Have about 65 musicians from all over the world. People from England, from Norway, from Sweden, musicians, that is,
mm-hmm.
and from New York City and Los Angeles and Chicago. Great, really, really great musicians. Fine music and a wonderful time by everybody has a wonderful time. It's like a family.
Uh-huh.
And there's something to do every minute. And you look up, and it's one place where at 7 o'clock in the morning, maybe some of the guys are still playing.
Wow, kind of like early Las Vegas.
That's right. That's right, and you're on a ship, you know.
Yeah, right.
They're just playing because they love to play. No other reason.
That, you mentioned the Basie Band, and, of course, that must have been some fantastic years.
Oh, yeah.
Working with Count. And
yes, it was.
He played the piano uniquely, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He looked like he was just kind of playing with it.
Not really. He was picking out the pretty notes.
The pretty notes.
That's right. Just the pretty ones, that's all.
And you sang a few of them, too, I tell you that. I've been seeing you on public television a lot. You've been doing some PBS things around.
Yes, we've been very fortunate to get that exposure.
Mm-hmm.
With television, you're in the bedrooms and in the living room and in the kitchen, and you're part of the family. People see you, they say, hi, Joe. You know, it's nice.
I guess TV really made a big difference as far as an entertainer's recognize and ability, you know, as far as when you walk in a room, all of a sudden you're no longer a voice. Everybody knows who you are.
That's right. But I think because of the fact that you're part of the family, they don't really overpower you. They sort of respect you and give you your space. You know, like, hi, Joe, I sure enjoy what you do.
Are you still as excited today as you were 25, 30 years ago when you started playing with these big bands?
I think more so, because I appreciate it more now. Before, I think I was more in a daze and just enjoying, period, being on the stage with people of the caliber, you know, of Basie or Ellington or Woody Herman. And it was fun being on stage with these people.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can really appreciate it. For instance, I brought you a record tonight where I do a thing that Bing Crosby used to feature. And it's called I Think of You with Every Breath I Take.
Sure.
And there's a musician on there that I used to just hang out and drink with. He's dead now, though, Ben Webster.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays so pretty on it until when he finished playing, I didn't want to come in and sing.
The one and only Joe Williams. Here he is with a great sound.
I think of you with every breath I take, and every breath becomes a sigh. Not a sigh of despair, but a sigh that I care for you. I hear your name with every breath I take, on every breeze that wanders by. And your name is a song I'll remember the long years through. Even though I walk alone, you guide me. In the darkness, you light my way. And all of the while, inside me, love seems to say, someday, someday. And when I sleep, you keep my heart away. And when I wake from dreams divine, Every breath that I take is a prayer that I'll make you mine. I sleep, you keep my heart awake. And when I wake from dreams divine, every breath that I take is a prayer that I'll make you mine.
Fantastic job by Joe Williams, and Joe's in studio with us. Joe, you like singing with a big orchestra like that and a recording studio, or you like maybe the 12, 14-piece band? But what's your favorite type of singing, or is it a kick both ways?
I think that it's fun to do it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, the hard swing or fun blues, mm-hmm, or a love song like that. I started singing with orchestras for dancing years ago when I was growing up in Chicago, Illinois. And on the air, we used to broadcast live.
Oh, yeah.
And I would sing love songs like that and watch the people's expression on their faces as they held each other in their arms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them have accused me of being a matchmaker. But really, though, that great arrangement was by Jimmy Jones from Chicago, Illinois, too, a young man. We grew up together in Chicago, Illinois. And
he's done a lot of your arrangements.
Yes, he has. And that was Ben Webster and Hank Jones on piano and Milt Hinton on bass and O.C. Johnson on drums.
Fantastic.
My group.
You've made a lot of friends over the years. In fact, we have a man on the line who says he met you in Europe on a tour.
Hello, you're on the air with Joe Williams.
Yeah, Joe, how you doing? Last time we ran into one another was in my old hometown. Rosario Paulaquet from the North Sea Jazz Festival introduced us.
Oh, yes, I remember very well. We were just there.
Yeah. Say, I used to go to a lot of the concerts over the continent, and there is one thing. Maybe you can help me on that. That's a kind of a Presley trivia type of thing. I ran into Big Mama Thornton one time, and we got into a heated discussion over Heartbreak Hotel.
Yes.
And then we ended up backstage with a thermos bottle with sour mash, and I don't know whatever. Didn't she record at Heartbreak Hotel before Presley ever did?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, he recorded about five or six of the things. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Yeah, nothing but a hound dog.
Yeah.
And I at first, you know, and we got into a heated discussion, and finally we ended up backstage, since he always carries that big thermos.
Oh, yeah,
the
thermos.
Thermos
and that sour mash.
Good point, Joe. And thank you, sir, for calling.
On our next segment with Joe Williams, we're going to open it up with a Christmas song. Sarah Vaughn will join him, and then we'll talk to Joe Williams again as we continue with Las Vegas Memories.
Marvelous Marv Grand Canyon Tours offers you a unique look at one of the great wonders of the world, the Grand Canyon.
Been the Grand Canyon area most of my life, so pretty much grew up in the area and know quite a few things that the common tourist doesn't know, and I need to avoid all the people and stuff and try to take them to secluded areas.
A day excursion, personally, conducted by Marvelous Marv.
Yeah, we started about 8 o'clock in the morning. We're done about 4:30. Absolutely. And I have a little photo CD disc for him with 1,000 of my favorite pictures and some video. And
no other tour offers so much, and no other personalized tour offers a better price.
No, I'm still the same, and I'm the most reasonable price tour of the Grand Canyon now. $85 a person. Yeah. Yeah.
Call 928-707-0291 or check him out at MarvelousMarv.com.